So we've been dealing with commerce restrictions between Jews and Ovid Avodah Zarah and idolaters. So one of the things that we have to be very careful about in terms of selling to them, this is the seventh Mishnah, the first parak, and mochin lam dubin v'arayos v'chol davar sheyesh bo nezek l'rabim, is that one cannot be involved in selling different elements to idolaters. This doesn't have to do with idolatry per se, but that could be a menace to society, selling them wild animals that could be unleashed in a dangerous way. Obviously, the modern day iteration of this would be arms dealership. Okay, to sell arms to people who are known to have a brutal culture. Something's been in the news a lot over the course of the last number of years of, certain kinds of spyware that could be used for very nefarious purposes. So the halacha restricts Jews selling elements that can be used for very dangerous purposes, for weaponized purposes, to people with a debased culture. So in ancient times, again, that was dubim v'arayos, literally lions and bears. In the modern day, that's probably a cyber weapon. But this is the halacha. And bonini mayim besilki gardom v'itstadia ubima. We don't build for them different kinds of gallows. Or they used to, in a very brutal way, the idolaters used to push people off buildings. It's not only in ancient times. If you remember when Israel disengaged from Gaza in a short amount of time, Hamas took over Gaza from Fatah, and their way of dealing with people that were not politically aligned was throwing them off the tops of buildings. So that's an ancient method. So we're not supposed to, construct that for them. So is in any way to be mitzuraf, is any way to be connected with that kind of a brutal practice? It's stadia. This is something that's been very much on our minds over the course of the past week. Those were stadiums where humans that were condemned were put into the stadiums for, thousands or tens of thousands of people to watch as the humans would die. They would be torn apart by wild animals, a coliseum kind of a thing. Something that, obviously a lot of people have been thinking about in conjunction with, football and what exactly it means to get enjoyment from that. Something that I think gives all of us, especially those of us who do generally enjoy sports, a sense of, cheshbon hanefesh, just how different is it really than the Roman Colosseum, where people are suffering all kinds of horrible, injuries and the like. Ubima, again, similarly understood, to have a connection with putting people to the death. But you can certainly build anything which is neutral, any kind of a neutral building project, whether it's an office building or certainly something that has a public utility, such as, for public hygiene, public bathhouses, bridges, roads, tunnels, all of these things are, from one standpoint permissible, but from another standpoint, highly laudatory to build. But what you have to stop is, if you're building a public bathhouse, for whatever reason, it was very popular in pagan cultures, actually in the bath itself, they used to put an idol. That was a very popular thing to do. So that's where you sort of have to stop. And that's a very important issue, right, to consider, is that on the one hand, this is a public utility, public bathhouse, right? Very important for hygiene, right? Avoiding infectious disease, plagues, etc. On the other hand, you have to sort of know a lot about their avodah zarah. So when they would get to the, there's a lot of antechambers if you ever go to a public bathhouse, right? There's changing rooms and heating rooms and the like. So actually in the room where the main tub would be kept, that's where they would typically put their avodah zarah. So a Jew would have to stop there. Now, that could be a real problem, and this has come up for me in terms of the shul and people, architects and people, especially engineers, structural engineers in the shul, asking me if they can take on certain projects. And one of the things that I've learned over time, you learn a lot through these questions, is I said, well, that room could really be a problem. Let's say that room would be affiliated in some sense with avodah zarah or something that would be prohibited. And they said, Rabbi, you don't understand. This isn't a project that's divisible. Like, if I don't do that room, it means I'm not really going to be working on that. So that's a very complicated issue, but if there were real red lines, if it actually implicated avodah zarah itself, the answer would have to be no. So, in the real world, there's so much that you really can do, but in practice, if they want, one architect, one main engineer, one quality control manager as these projects go. So to divide things up and say, well, I'm not going to be involved in that room is actually much more complicated, as I've learned, than it seems just to, you know, say it in theory as opposed to in practice. We cannot make any kind of ornaments for Avodah Zarah. Kutlos and Nizamim et Tabaos, they used to adorn them with nose rings and, you know, different kinds of rings. Rabbi Lazar Omer Bishar Mutter. So Rabbi Lazar says if a person would be paid for it, it's okay. So it's okay if you get paid for a Avodah Zarah. So what exactly is that about? So the Tiferes Yisrael comments, he says, Hazman Alav Milsahi. When you produce the ring, you're producing a ring. They're paying you for the ring. They're going to do with it what they want. So he felt, you know, that that would be acceptable. In Mochlam Mechuber Lakarka, so you're not allowed to sell them something of land in the land of Israel. There's an issa d'oraisa lo sachonim lo titen lam chanaya bekarka. But you're allowed to sell it mishayikatzets when it's no longer attached to the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mocher hulo almanas lakotz. You can even sell it even if it's still attached to the ground as long as you have a commitment that it's going to be detached in the ground. Mocher lo almanas lakotz. In maskirin lahem batim beretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to rent to them homes in the land of Israel. This became very controversial years ago. Ve'in sarech lomar sados. Sados is a dual problem. Sados, not only are you giving them land in Israel, but in addition to that, you're giving them the ability, any land which is owned by a non-Jew is not subject to trumos and maestro. So it's kind of, you know, subtraction in that sense because you're not going to be able to fulfill mitzvos with it as well. Surya is what we call a kibush yachad. It's not fully invested with the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, maskirin lehem batim, you're allowed to rent out homes to them, aval lo sados. But again, fields remain a bigger problem. The reason that fields do remain a bigger problem is because, again, there's an opportunity to fulfill trumos and maestros. When it's under non-Jewish ownership, you're not going to be able to. V'chutzarts mochrin lehen batim umaskirin sados. In Chutzlaretz, in America, wherever it is, you're allowed to sell land and you're allowed to rent fields according to Reb Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer Beretz Yisrael Maskirin Lehem Batin Avalo Sados. In Eretz Yisrael, right, Rabbi Yossi's view, this is what's normative. You're allowed to rent out properties. You're not allowed to rent out fields for the reason we said fields is worse. Uvisurim Mochrin Batin Maskirin Sados. Chutzaretz Mochrin Elu Ve'elu. In Chutzaretz, we're allowed to sell both residences as well as fields. Again, the great sensitivity to selling to non-Jews in the land of Israel is not so much non-Jews, but to idolaters. We're not allowed to give them a stake in the land of Israel. So one of the practical areas that this came up, and anybody who's been to Israel, you know, certainly has noticed this, there are many churches in Israel, even though the Jewish people are sovereign. That was a halachic issue that came up to the first chief rabbi, like, you know, do we have to really uproot these things? Rav Herzog, Rav Cook had passed away in 1935. He was a chief rabbi, but before the state, before there was Jewish sovereignty. Certainly when the British were sovereign, when nobody was going to go around, you know, asking churches to please, you know, pack up and leave. And Rav Herzog gave a dispensation. He said, you know, there are implications here for national security for Jews all over the world if we're not going to, you know, be seen as cooperative in this way, even though we have very significant reservations and sensitivities. What's that going to mean for Jewish communities in the diaspora? You can imagine. Remember, you know, if in Israel, people would start going around rolling up, you know, churches of different denominations. What would that mean for our shul here in the United States of America? Rav Herzog had the sensitivity to appreciate that that decision couldn't be made without thought about what would that mean for the Jewish community in Israel. What would that mean for Jewish communities across the globe? This is a person who'd been the chief rabbi of Ireland before becoming the chief rabbi of Israel. So even though, again, in principle, all land in Israel should be owned by, at the very least, monotheists, as opposed to, you know, idolaters. We have to be, you know, very, very, very careful about these things, because there are obviously implications for Eva, you know, for a sense of creating hostility in the world, which is something which really touches on Dina Nefashos. And then again, in addition to that, whether or not we relate, the Rambam obviously did relate to Christianity as Avodah Zarah, but we already spoke about the view of the Balei HaTosfos, who argue that it's not really considered Avodah Zarah for them, and that's part of, you know, the dynamic here in terms of how we would relate to that. That would never soften our stance against it. Jews throughout the centuries and millennia sacrificed their lives rather than accept Catholicism, you know, the Crusades. That being said, whether or not them doing it's Avodah Zarah, that's a separate issue. And that's the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. So even though, again, we're very sensitive to these things, again, many of the properties, people don't know this necessarily, many of the properties in southern Jerusalem are owned by the church, okay? Very beautiful properties in that area of Yerushalayim. And there is transaction that goes on back and forth there. But that is one of the sensitivities that people need to have if they're getting into it l'chatchila. But one of the things from a national point of view that we've observed, as Rav Herzog ruled, was not to interfere with their freedom of worship, which, again, could have catastrophic consequences for Jews both in Israel and outside.